KSCU Santa Clara presents Robots Attack. Movies, TV, video games, comic books, tech stuff, news, music, if it is geek. It's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at Robots Attack Me, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right. Welcome to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. I am Joe, and with me is
Caleb.
That's right. We're here to rock your geek out.
Woo!
On this Monday night. It's going to be awesome.
Heck yeah.
We got a great show for you tonight. Tons of stuff to hit. It's a pretty big week if you're into, comic booky, action-y, Marvel-y.
Blow 'em up, sci-fi, action, enjoyable movies. There's something for you this week. I think so.
But before we get into any of that, how was your weekend?
It was pretty good. Very relatively mellow. Got to see some friends we hadn't seen for a little while at their 1 year old's birthday party, which was fun.
Oh, okay.
And also got to spend some time digging into Daredevil a little bit, the TV show on Netflix.
Oh, okay, okay. How many episodes have you watched?
We're up to episode 4 now.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. And episode 4 is, wow, that's quite the ending. I'll just leave it at that.
Oh, okay. Cliffhanger-y or not what you expected?
Not
or?
What I expected, and a bit more intense than I was, it just kind of caught me up. I'm like, whoa, that was kind of extreme.
Oh, okay.
Goodness. other than being surprised by that episode, I've been really enjoying the series.
Yeah. So far, from what I hear from everyone, it's been solid. I finished the second season of Arrow, which is on Netflix. So I wanted to finish that, and then I wanted to finish the first season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on Netflix. Before I jumped into Daredevil, I wanted to finish off some other stuff. So I'm almost done with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I've gotten to the point where it's like the after effects of the Winter Soldier. So I went back and watched the Winter Soldier because I realized I'd only watched it when we saw it in the theater. And so I kind of wanted a little refresher, I remembered really liking it and been like, oh, okay. And I'd kind of forgotten some of the little details and stuff. So few more episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and then I'll jump into Daredevil. I don't want to jump into it yet. I want to finish these others first before I start adding to the pile of things to watch. Like,
completely understand that feeling. It's like, when you have like 3 or 4 TV series started, you're just like, I don't feel like watching any of those. I'm going to start something else. Wait, this is going all wrong.
It's just making it worse. But yeah, I look forward to it because so far, the only negative things I've heard of the show are for people who maybe haven't been into the violence of the show. I guess that being kind of a turnoff for others, but everything else I've heard, like acting, story, like everything else has been solid. So
yeah, on one hand, the fights being very visceral is kind of nice in the way, because it's like people are getting beat the heck up, and a few other phrases as well. But in episode 4 was the first time where I started to go, is this like, I kind of understood where they were going with it, like stylistically, but at the same time, it's like, this is going just a little bit longer and a little bit further than I was really expecting or completely comfortable with. And it's like, I'm not sure how I feel about that. It definitely sets a certain tone, but at the same time, I'm like, I feel like there isn't quite enough character to go with some of these things. And it's like, I'm just like trying to figure out like how I feel about episode 4. Like, I'll definitely go back for the rest of the show. It's not going to stop me, but it's just kind of like, it's kind of a weird, it's kind of, it was just sort of a weird thing, like, whoa, kind of a tense.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think there was actually some sort of news about the show too.
Mm-hmm.
Recently dropped.
Yes. It's been renewed for season 2.
Man, that was fast.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like the fan acclaim, and I'm sure, like, you know, when you're on the internet and computers are tracking, are doing everything, it's very relatively easy to add tracking to that. So I'm sure they've been watching their quote unquote ratings. I know Nielsen doesn't really count. Well, they are counting the internet streaming stuff now, but like Netflix has their own metrics on what they're doing. And I'm pretty sure The Devil is burning up the charts.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll be curious, like, how many, if it brought in a lot of new subscribers or.
I'm wondering that myself. Because, like, will they, and also will they hold on to it? Because like, you get that free 30-day trial for or 15-day trial a lot of times.
Yeah.
Showing up your inbox. It's like, that brings them in, but then.
Yeah, do they stay? Because, like, you can, you know, watch through, you can binge watch all of them over a weekend or something, and then mm-hmm. be like, okay, I'm done with this, and I'll just wait till they get the other season, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I always kind of wondered how them versus, like, maybe chunks, like, okay, here's the first 3 episodes this week, and mm-hmm. then the next week will be like, if they've ever thought of doing it that way, or if they found it better just dump the whole thing. And
well, when they made House of Cards, like I think that was like, that was putting their well, I'm so, it's probably more like a foot rather than just a toe, like a foot in the water, like, okay, we're gonna try this. And they're now on season 3 of House of Cards. So now, not that I have any insight into what Netflix is doing, but it seems like it's working for them.
Yeah.
I mean, Hulu is still doing reasonably well with their once a week stuff, but that's because they're also based on the standard television broadcast schedule,
true.
Which is once a week.
Yeah.
And HBO is kind of like that other middle ground where it's like they do have a lot of streaming stuff through their HBO Go and HBO Now if you have one of those fancy Apple TVs.
Yeah.
And also they have like the once a week broadcast schedule stuff like Game of Thrones and so on and so forth. I'm sure there's other shows they make, but I don't have HBO, so I don't remember.
Yeah. Yeah. To be curious, because I know they're going to do also, what is it? Jessica Jones.
AKA Jessica Jones, Luke Cage. And Iron Fist.
And then eventually
they're going to make
the Defenders. So I know it would be curious since they're, you know, giving renewed Daredevil for a second season,
mm-hmm.
how they're going to do work in those other shows. If they're going to like have them drop, okay, maybe second season of Daredevil will be at the beginning of next mm-hmm. year or something. And then the next one or like, you know, vice versa or something like that.
Yeah,
they're going to kind of space them out, like maybe a couple of the shows in 1 year, you know,
mm-hmm.
so you maybe holds on to retention of like, well, okay, you know,
in 2 more months I'll be getting this. Okay, let's see what else is on Netflix. Oh, and Futurama, sweet, or you know, whatever
you want. Yeah, but yeah, I'd be curious to know. I mean, clearly, them greenlighting a season 2, something positive,
something's going right
for them. So.
I mean, when you're on like the title card screen for the Daredevil, like there's just the faintest sliver that isn't like the fifth star. So it's like, that's pretty credible.
People must seem to like it. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah. It's been getting some good buzz, and I've been enjoying quite a bit of it. And it's definitely in the trend of like this, like the setting is in New York, the Hell's Kitchen, New York,
mm-hmm.
makes it very gritty. Like this is like down to earth, like hardcore crime drama sort of thing. Like
okay. The
fantastic elements are a lot less fantastic because most of the people involved are less superpowered to begin with. It's not Captain America. And, or
Iron Man,
like
Thor,
you know,
or anybody.
Yeah, Thor. You know, there's no magic hammers, so they do mention magical hammers and iron suits, but no one on this level deals with that kind of stuff. So it's kind of interesting seeing a little more like street level sort of superheroism.
Yeah, yeah, it's the stuff that the Avengers really don't have time for. Like
exactly,
in a sense, really, mm-hmm. like they're kind of too busy taking on the aliens and
they're fighting off the world dominating portal space creatures. Yeah, they got slightly bigger fish to fry.
Yeah, or maybe some crazy AI. Ooh, mm-hmm. Hint, foreshadow.
Yes,
for later in the show.
Yes, for later. All
right, so you watch that. Mm-hmm. Did you get a chance to play anything or?
No, I was not. As close to my gaming for this week. Okay. Wasn't, but.
I mean, like you said, you're at a, oh, I was going to ask, did the 1 year old, like, did they give him or her like a giant cake or something?
She did get a big chunk of cake, and they also had, cupcakes for the rest of us. So they wouldn't have to like be fighting the baby for their sweets. But, she was surprisingly, at peace with her. It wasn't the usual like smash and grab kind of thing.
Okay.
Her tactic was, all the stuff I like is on the top of it. Dip the finger into the frosting and then just keep dipping the finger into the frosting. It's like, oh, smart girl. Eventually she did get down to eating a little cake, but okay. Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny. I don't know. I mean, I don't know where that came from of like, tiny little kid, here's like this giant cake or something to just go crazy with, like, because like at my work I end up seeing a lot of videos of sort of those, and I just wonder like where this came from of, hey, let's give this little tiny kid like a gigantic cake or something to just get messy with.
It's like, I can understand like a cupcake or like, you know, like you make like a little small cake or some sort. And this one wasn't a very big cake. It was reasonably sized. But yeah, it's like at some point someone thought, this is really cute. Let's just keep doing, let's do more of it.
Yeah, I guess it's just a funny thing of, look how messy this kid can get. Crazy.
Look, I'll end it into their cake. They are. Splat.
Yeah. Oh, good. I don't have to clean that up. I'm my kid. Speaking of cleaning up. Are you a local band or know of a local band that would like to have their music played on the air? Well, KACU caters to the local scene. We play every type of local music you can think of. If you would like to submit a CD or record that you would like us to review and possibly play, send it to KACU Local Music, 500 El Camino Real, number 3207, Santa Clara, California, 95053.
Awesome. And get your music on the air.
Let's do, yeah. Because, yeah, we could definitely use some more local music.
Mm-hmm.
Got a decent amount, but, you know, we're always looking for more, so.
Selection is good.
Yes. Speaking of good. So, you had a chance to watch some Daredevil and watch a child play with some cake. I had a chance to play Neverwinter on my Xbox One.
I was curious how that was going to be.
I streamed a bit of it. It's a free-to-play game. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's like, I was a little worried since I haven't played too many MMOs, you know, if like, okay, am I going to need, you know, a group of people to roll with to do a lot of the stuff?
Right.
And so far, not at all. Like, I ran into one instance where the person offering a quest, it said like better with a group. So I didn't do it, but like everything else, it seems like it's either just scaled or, you know, like it's been okay to roll solo. And they, another thing I was a little worried too was like, well, okay, am I going to be like, it's sort of Destiny-ish in a way, just to, since neither of us really played, I mean, I don't think, you've never really played a whole lot of MMOs, right?
No, no, not really.
So the best sort of example I give is, it's sort of like Destiny, you know, when you drop into like the areas where anyone can roam around and run into bad guys and stuff, and you can take them on.
Right.
And you'll see just like other random people like taking on groups and stuff like that. It's similar to that.
Okay.
But then when you go inside like a building or a sewer or dungeon, you know, somewhere inside, it'll just take you or whatever group you're with in there. So you only really run into other people when you're out in
on
the open
world.
Yeah.
Oh,
and then
cool.
The bad guys, like if you're like, hey, I wanted to kill those things. If you just wait a little bit, like they just respawn again. So it's no like huge deal. And it looks like from what I could tell, when they drop treasure or items and stuff, it's like
tied
just
to your party.
Yeah. Just to you, because I didn't notice anyone like trying to go for anything that dropped.
Mm-hmm. No treasure thieving.
Yeah, so it didn't look like it was Borderlands where it's open to, you know,
whoever's anyone, there.
Yeah, who's ever there. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. Like there's a surprising amount of like customization you can do,
mm-hmm.
and it's all, you know, it's all like free. Like you didn't have
That's
to.
Cool.
So I made like a half. It's based off of D&D, like
the Neverwinter
area. So it has all those familiar like races, mm-hmm. you know. So I went with a half elf chick,
mm-hmm.
and I went with the I forget the name of the class. It's like, it's the shield, like sword and shield, character class.
Okay.
I highly recommend it. I mean, it's if you own. I think it originally came out on the PC, so you can play it on that. But if you have an Xbox One and if you like fantasy setting games, it's fine. I can imagine. I'd like to try it with some other friends too, like to roll.
Yeah.
In a party, but you can get, you know, it'll ask you if you link your account with the Ark Company or whatever that's makes it. They'll give you like a free companion to roll with. So. It gave me like this arcane illusionist guy, and I can name him. So I named him Gary.
Nice.
And so, yeah, he can roll with you, and like you can upgrade him as you're getting experience points, and you can give them items after they get higher in level, and you can get items, and you can get mounts, and all. It's like it seems like it has all that kind of standard MMO stuff that MMO players out there are like, okay, that sounds like an MMO. Like,
Yep. All right, cool. Yeah, Jason started the download on for my Xbox One. I've been meaning to try it out.
Yeah, it's worth jumping in. I mean, you get two character slots, so you can make two characters. You can buy like additional ones, but you know, I mean, that's two should be fine unless you plan on playing like a whole bunch. But there's a bunch, you know, like I said, there's a bunch of different classes to roll through. And since we're, you know, familiar with D&D, like it's the same sort of things, you know, strength, dexterity, constitution, all that same sort of stuff.
Still have the feat system and all that, or they?
Yeah. Okay. Still feats and skills. I mean, it's not exactly like 3.5, like kind of.
Yeah, I'm sure
play.
It's more like fourth or fifth ed by now.
Yeah. But, it's just similar things like, you'll have powers and feats. And it's like, oh, okay, this is, you know.
Right.
And then you'll just dump a point into
the
making
thing.
This better. And, you know, it tells you on there. I will say it is, for someone who's never played like an MMO, it is a little overwhelming, like figuring out all the, like what your buttons do and everything. Like, okay, if I hold this, it switches over to another set. Like, it helps if you've played like Dragon Age or other kind of fantasy-ish sorts of games. Like you'll start to get a feel of it, but there's some things that are specific to the game where you'll be like, okay, I guess I'll figure that out as I go along. And and you do. So it's nothing where you'll be like, unless you've never played a video game before, jumping into this will be very overwhelming. But if you have some knowledge of
it's a learning
any kind
curve,
of role-playing
not a,
game.
Not a learning cliff.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. That's good. So. Yeah. I was playing a little bit of Dragon Age last week and I was just kind of tooling around the world. I'm like it's funny though, like that game, like it's sweated my appetite for playing Mass Effect again. Oddly enough.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like I'm playing a fantasy game and I'm thinking about playing a sci-fi game. What the heck?
What did you end up rolling with?
I did the sword and shield, and I'm a dwarf. A dwarf girl.
Oh, okay, nice.
Yeah,
nice.
It's kind of funny, like going like almost all, like in Mass Effect, you're playing human unless you, you're basically playing human. The next one though, they'll open up the racial class.
Yeah, it sounds like you'll have more options.
Mm-hmm. But just kind of funny, like going, wow, my character's really short. Everyone's really tall, like holy smokes. it's just kind of like you realize like the scale of things is just so different. But yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, you see, I think Harding, Scout Harding, like she's like she should be end up being like the same height as you.
Yeah,
so.
I bumped into her like, hey, we're the same height. Yeah. Knuckles. No, wait, they don't do that. Okay. Yeah, and also there's like this dwarven bard guy with a giant crossbow that kind of follows me around.
Yeah, Varric. Yeah.
Varric, yeah. He's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, he's from the previous game.
I figured that there was some of these characters coming back, and it's like, I don't know who they were. This is fun.
Yeah. But yeah, I recommend both of those games. But mm-hmm. but yeah, it's worth. I mean, it's free.
Might as well try. Very cool. Let's see. Speaking of things that are kind of new, there was a new Ant-Man trailer that came out this week.
That's right. It's interesting that they kind of dropped it around the same time as mm-hmm. another Marvel movie that's coming out this week.
Yeah, yeah. It's like they're trying to ride the hype train just a little bit.
Yeah,
but the trailer looks not bad. It's like the whole as we've gone through this saga of the Ant-Man Chronicle.
Yeah,
it's been sort of interesting, like seeing like how it's come together. And it's like, oh, this movie actually okay. I'm starting to get seeing what the tone they're going for and stuff like that.
Yeah, feel to it. Yes, yeah, especially if you followed our show, we've reported a lot on Ant-Man mm-hmm. than other outlets.
Yeah.
Not because we're particular like super fans or anything, but
It's been kind of interesting just the story, like, you know, the changing directors and writing and all those other like, and just where they're going with the character even.
Like, yeah. Yeah, changing it up like it's Scott.
Yeah.
Instead of Hank.
Yeah, it's not Hank Pym, it's another dude entirely.
But yeah, watching the trailer too, it added a little, cause they had that, like the first trailer, mm-hmm. you got like kind of little hints of some of the humor, and then the second trailer, you definitely see more of that. Like,
yeah.
So
it's a rather self-aware sort of humor as well for a lot of it. Like at least in terms of the name Ant-Man, like there's this very like, yeah, we know the name.
Yeah. They're definitely playing up that like, Yes, you are watching a movie about an Ant-Man. Like, he's not literal an ant, but mm-hmm. you know, Rome rolls with some ants, size of, you know, like all these things that someone were to come up to you and talk to you about, you'd be like, that sounds a little bit ridiculous, especially mm-hmm. having, you know, already movie about guy in an iron suit. Well, not really iron, but, you know.
Yeah, metal suit.
Yeah, and then, you know, Asgardians and mm-hmm. aliens and, you know, a super soldier and... You know, all these kind of like serious, but still, you know, like kind mm-hmm. of typical things. And then here's a guy that can shrink down to the size of an ant. And he has got like superhuman strength when he's there. But, you know, it's like, what?
Yeah.
It's an ant? What? Like, huh?
Yeah. Like the basic premise of Ant-Man's occasionally hard to swallow, but they seem to be handling it pretty well overall, I think.
Yeah. And I think, too, I mean, if you look at the track record of the mm-hmm. Marvel movies, I mean, not all of them have been like super awesome, but none of them have really been like, oh, that was terrible, at least in my mind. I mean, so mm-hmm. I think, you know, if you have faith, like there's a good shot this one will still be fun.
Yeah.
Even if it's not like super awesome, but
my suspicion is it's going to be more along the lines of like Thor, where it's like, you're not expecting too much out of it. And it's going to hit that popcorn movie kind of sweet spot, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they haven't done us wrong yet. So, and if, you know, if they can take, well, I've heard that Guardians was getting kind of a resurgence in the comics before the movie came out. I mean, they took another group that you would think, what? Like a mm-hmm. raccoon, talking raccoon that shoots guns,
a
giant tree. Like if you turned around and said like, Guardians of the Galaxy. No, really, hold on. You know, it's going to be good. Like mm-hmm. that they made that a super awesome movie.
Yeah.
Like, hey.
Yeah, it's one of those things like they're doing well. They're firing on all cylinders, and you know, hey, keep on it, guys. It's a good ride.
I think so. Speaking of a good ride,
mm-hmm.
well, you can ride the good waves.
Ooh.
Are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes, but have limited time to volunteer? You can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving, foster, and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook. Oh, I think mm-hmm. this will be a good segue
Yes.
We talked about Ant-Man, mentioned Winter Soldier, talking about Marvel. We even like hinted a little bit at, possible like, crazy, some crazy out of control AI of some kind.
Perhaps.
Well, I think we should have a special edition of...
And now, it's time for K-Lux Corner.
That's right. I'm here to shed some light on some of the characters that we haven't seen quite as much of in the movies leading up to this. Like we're all well aware of who Black Widow, Hawkeye, Thor, and Iron Man and the Hulk are. We have them pretty well intact. But who is Scarlet Witch? Who is the Vision? And furthermore, what is Ultron and why is there a Quicksilver in this movie? These are all very good questions.
Yes. And we're not going to answer any of them.
The one thing that's probably like the whole Quicksilver Scarlet Witch inclusion is probably the one part where it's like whatever I know about them leading up to this movie from the comics is probably not going to be very effective in understanding who they are, because they are totally divorced from that part of the world, because they came from the X-Men. Their history is they are the son and daughter of Magneto.
Yeah. And they're mutants.
Mutants, but they're not in an X-Men movie, so therefore they can't be mutants.
Mutants, because Fox owns mutants.
Yeah, Fox owns the mutants movies and Marvel does everything else. But so what they're doing in this is, I'm unsure what that means.
Yeah.
The one thing I do know is that
I think there's rumor that they may be like Inhumans.
Yeah, which is kind of where they've been taking the Marvel universe in general.
That seems like, Marvel's has Inhumans, so like, let's make some of these characters that we can't
use
because they're as mutants and make them Inhumans. We don't know yet. Maybe we'll find out on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
But
the one thing I can say that from you can see. If you've seen any of the trailers, is that Quicksilver is still a speedster.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Is he related to Magneto anymore? Don't know.
No.
But he is still Quicksilver, the speedster character. And it looks like that they still have some sort of sibling or familial relationship of some sort. Yeah. They look really close.
Yeah.
Scarlet Witch, her special ability makes her one of the most powerful mutants, but that's kind of because her special ability is... BS. Now, before you go like, what?
Wait.
Her ability is to rewrite the laws of probability. Like, okay. she can essentially rewrite reality if she concentrates hard enough, which is where the whole House of M story arc from a couple of years back came out of. So how they're going to work on that with this one, I'm not sure, but
it looks like they're definitely going to play a big role. Mm-hmm. Otherwise Josh Whedon wouldn't have
added
included
them. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with them. The interesting
And I will say, just the time with them, since I mentioned watching the Winter Soldier,
mm-hmm.
and they were included in the like post, well, it's so weird now because they do like with that one, the literal post-credit scene was the Bucky part. Sorry if this is spoilers, but like the one that's like sort of like a little bit after some credits involved them, and it showed the Loki's staff being charged and stuff like that, and then they were like in weird cages or something like that. So it sort of seems like they're somehow tied with Hydra, or in like maybe some other thing within Hydra, like so.
Yeah, and if they're following the Hydra track, it is not completely unfathomable that they've got some relation back to Magneto again, because the whole Hydra and Nazism was a pretty tight link for most of the history of Hydra. So we shall see. The thing that makes I'm fascinated to see where they're going to go with it is that they brought in the Vision. Now, the Vision is an android. He was his very first incarnation in comics was the Human Torch. Now, if that's confusing, it's because he was part of a different comic book consortium. Because like this, he was this character was purchased by Marvel. His original thing was like, for whatever reason, when this guy made an android, and when its skin became in contact with oxygen, it burst into flame, and that was kind of its thing.
Oh, okay.
When it came over to the Marvel Universe, they already had created Fantastic Four and had a Human Torch there, I think they shelved the android thing for a while, and then they brought him back later as the Vision. And Vision, being an android, is super strong, super smart, super fast, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. And where that gets kind of interesting is the Vision and Scarlet Witch in the comics end up being a couple.
Oh, okay.
And have a kid.
Okay.
Like I said, she can rewrite reality.
It's true. Very true. Okay.
So I'm not sure how that all works, but, and that's why it's like her power is sort of falls in the category of, well, they can just sort of write that in because they can. So it's like her limits really her ability to concentrate on one thing. So it's like,
okay. Yeah.
It's like, it is kind of a limitation, but at the same time, it's sort of a Deus Ex Machina kind of.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was thinking. Yeah. I'd be curious to see how they play that into the movie without it being like, oh, geez. Like,
yeah.
You know, some cheap thing or something.
Yeah.
Like, well, she could just do that. And so that happened. Like, really?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's where I'm like, interesting inclusion of her, because like, since her comic book's power set is so deep and so wide, it's like, how are they going to rein her back to kind of like match some of the more realistic stuff that happens in the movies?
Yeah. Yeah. So. I'm guessing Josh Whedon had some idea or something sparked or something from the comics that he drew from, was like, I like that. I'll twist that a little bit and then I can, you know, and then he's like, that's why these characters have to be in it or something.
Yeah. But, yeah, like I said, since we haven't yet been through the mind of Whedon on this, we've got to wait and see, wait till Friday to find out what's happening. see, then there's obviously Ultron, but the previews kind of lay out his core thing fairly well, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like I don't really know his history terribly well, but I guess in the original history, Hank Pym like built him.
Correct.
But this they've changed it to Tony Stark
is
the creator now.
Yeah, the original version they had the Avengers created a super powered prison to hold all the people, all the supervillains that they captured.
Okay.
And Hank Pym, because like the Avengers is a relatively small team and they're off doing things pretty often, he created the Ultron robot. Which the face of which he based on a certain type of ant. I can't remember which one it was now.
Oh, but okay.
They were designed to be peacekeepers, like to mind the prison, make sure that nobody escapes.
Okay.
And he designed them to be able to mimic any of the supervillains enough that they could nullify them when needed to. Whether they bring that into the movie or not, I don't know. But in this version, it's Tony Stark, and he was working on sort of a unified peacekeeping force that would help keep an eye on things when he was asleep or when the Avengers weren't around or whatever. And as most movies that involve AI go, something goes a little hinky. And it all goes downhill from there.
Yeah.
I guess that's why a lot of people are some of the big technologists are like, yeah, maybe we should make self-aware AI. AI up to a point, but the let's leave self-awareness to something else and not the machines.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember when that was mentioned about kind of changing the history, there was a little bit of uproar of like, oh, you're changing the history, but I think Josh Whedon kind of came out and said like, it's got to be Tony Stark. And it makes sense in the sort of the movie universe. I mean, you already have him established as making all these iron suits and having Jarvis and that sort of thing. And so it would make sense that he'd want to create, I think even in the movie, there's a line of like, I wanted to make armor for the world or, you know, something like that. And so it just, to have to like reintroduce like an entire new character, and this, even though they are going to have Hank Pym and Ant-Man, but
right.
just
but it's not. He's not quite the contemporary of Tony Stark that he is in the comic books, where like they're sort of like science bros, like, you know. But they're in the movie in the cinematic universe. They definitely angled it so that it made it at this point it makes sense that it's Tony that does it, because I mean Iron Man 3 with the whole like, you know, what was it, the house party at the end of the movie.
Oh yeah,
you know, that's like it's kind of like. From that, it's not that far of a logical leap to Ultron, it's, the Ultron system that they're kind of like talking about in the films, in the previews, I should say.
And it'll be curious. I mean, I know you mentioned Vision, but mm-hmm. it'll be curious how the Vision plays.
Yeah, it's like
because that they've been dark on that for the movie at least.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried to stay dark as much as I can with that movie since they've. Show so much.
It's like stop showing so much of it. I want to see the whole movie. I don't want 10 minutes and 5 minutes. Give me one, just a whole movie. I want 2 hours. Give me the whole thing. The I remember seeing one of the promotional pictures where they had like these eyes that looked techno sort of, and the skin was a little bit kind of different looking. I'm like, that must be the Vision, but there's never like a really clear full shot, like even on the one poster that's got the whole team, and you can kind of see him like he's being backlit by the sun, so you can't really get a good look at him. So it's like, where is it? Where are they going with this?
Yeah, but I guess we'll find out relatively shortly. On Friday, but
five short days or less.
But yeah, all right, cool. Yeah, I didn't really know much about. Most of those characters really, but mm-hmm. and it makes it difficult. It's nice like to give people sort of, you know, a little bit of background on them, but mm-hmm. unfortunately in this instance a lot of these characters they've kind of changed, like sort of the backstory. Like when you did Daredevil, it's like okay, that stayed pretty similar, and you know, others when you mentioned like Guardians of the Galaxy, mm-hmm.
they didn't change them all that much. Like the history was
you
still...
got the base mm-hmm. idea of them, so.
But with, Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver, they're totally different now.
Yeah.
Their power set still seems to be the same, but they're totally different now. Totally. So it's like, I can't tell you much about them other than that's who they are.
That's who they are, yeah. But, and then we'll definitely do one for sure for Ant-Man mm-hmm. when that gets closer. We'll jump into some of those, and mm-hmm. maybe we'll get a little insight from Avengers on Ant-Man, since because I think Ant-Man finishes off Phase 2? Is it Phase 2?
I believe so, yeah. It's the end of Phase 2.
All right. So does that wrap up Caleb's Corner?
That will wrap it up for this edition, yes.
All righty. We're going to take a quick music break here on KACU Santa Clara, and then we'll come back with some new releases and some news. But before that, Caleb, we love it when the audience participates on the show.
Mm-hmm.
How can they do that?
If you want to get your ideas, your stories, your feedback into the show, we want that too. You can go to facebook.com/robotsattackshow or twitter.com/robotsattackme. Those are the two best places to get in touch with us right now while we're on the air. If you want to get to us at a later date, there is robotsattackshow@gmail.com. That's the three best forms of communication. But if you want that instant feedback, that instant gratification, robotsattackshow, facebook.com and twitter.com/robotsattackme.
That's right. And don't worry if we've moved on to another topic. You're like, oh, shoot, I still wanted to send them something. Like, send it.
Send it.
Doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. You are that important to us fans.
That's right. All right. Let's take a music break here on KACU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. Be back with more Robots Attack.
Listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack here on KACU Santa Clara. Let's give the folks some new releases.
That's right.
Alright. Coming out in the theater this week, we've got The Death of Superman Lives, What Happened?
That's quite the title.
Yeah. It's a documentary about the proposed Tim Burton / Nicolas Cage 1998 film Superman Lives, that would have been the most original and strangest Superman movie ever.
Is that the one with the giant robot spider?
I don't know. I the only stuff I've seen for it is the suit.
Mm-hmm.
Nicolas Cage in the suit. And mm-hmm. yeah, it looks looked pretty crazy. But.
Yeah, I don't remember if it was that one. I just remember like Kevin Smith talking about like setting up to do. No, that must have been a different one because that was from that one was supposed to be directed by the hairdresser from RoboCop. So no, that was a totally different movie. Never mind. But still, that's a little wild story. And any movie that involves Superman and Nicolas Cage has got to be a very strange movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll be curious to see this documentary, like what all footage they've, you know, were able to uncover mm-hmm. and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Tim Burton did Batman. Mm-hmm. I wonder what his take on Superman would have been.
Yeah.
Moving on, we've got Far From Men. A reclusive ex-soldier is thrown into the woes of rebellion when he's ordered to escort a villager accused of murder to prison during the Algerian War. As their journey leads them through a deadly firefight between settlers and rebels, the two men on opposite sides of the conflict must join forces to survive. Then we have Far From the Maddening Crowd. Independent, beautiful, and headstrong Bathsheba Everdeen attracts three very different suitors. Thomas Hardy's timeless story of Bathsheba's choices and passions explores the nature of relationships and love, as well as the human ability to overcome hardships through resilience and perseverance. And finally, we have the movie that we were talking quite a bit about mm-hmm. in the previous segment, Avengers Age of Ultron. When Tony Stark tries to jumpstart a dormant peacekeeping program, things go awry, and Earth's mightiest heroes, including Iron Man, Captain America, Thor, the Incredible Hulk, Black Widow, and Hawkeye, don't forget Hawkeye.
Can't forget Hawkeye.
are put to the ultimate test as the fate of the planet hangs in the balance.
Nice. If you're looking to supplement some of that big screen awesomeness with some small screen awesomeness, or smaller since they're getting pretty big these days, here's some possible Blu-ray and DVDs that you might be interested in. The Gambler on Blu-ray and DVD. No, it's not related to that classic Kenny Rogers song.
Well, oh, so it's not.
I mean, not really. It does still follow the story of an English professor who moonlights as a high-stakes gambler. So there is still gambling, but it's
okay,
not.
But it's not.
You don't need to know when to hold them or when to fold them.
That we know of. Maybe.
That we know of. Yeah, they didn't. The description didn't say what game he plays particularly. But anyways, one night he goes in over his head, and as he tries to claw his way back up to the surface, he is drawn deeper into a world of shadows. and the gambler is played by Mark Wahlberg. So,
oh, okay.
So there's some acting credit in there. Then there's 50-1 on DVD. In classic sports film tradition, an unlikely horse and team become a major contender for the Kentucky Derby. It's based on the true story of Mine That Bird. Yeah, that's the name of the horse. There's this weird trend amongst racing horse owners to give them the strangest names. It's almost like they make word salad. They just toss the dictionary into a hat, shake it around, and then the first words that pop out, that's the name of the horse.
The Family Guy plot style.
Yes. Points on a dartboard. Yes. So the group that owns that raised Mine That Bird are an unassuming group of New Mexico cowboys who are suddenly thrust into the world of the racing elite. Mm. Mm-hmm. Changing gears a little bit is Paddington on Blu-ray and DVD, a bear from Peru in London with a tag around his neck saying, "Look after this bear." Obviously, marmalade and hijinks ensue.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I've heard some surprisingly good reviews for this.
Yeah, I heard a lot of good, pretty good buzz. I haven't seen it myself, no.
Did you ever watch Paddington as a lad?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
I also remember the books.
Oh, so okay.
I read little bits of them. Oh, but okay. I remember the animated stuff from the BBC and thinking it was fantastic. Plus, like, everybody, all the humans were line drawing, and Paddington was the only, like, full color character.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah.
It was like this weird, surreal thing. It's a lot of fun. And changing gears yet again, we're running it out with The Wedding Ringer on Blu-ray and DVD.
Not the singer.
Not the wedding singer. Adam Sandler does not make an appearance in this film. It's just 2 weeks before he ties the knot with the woman of his dreams, and Doug Harris is in a predicament. He has no best man. He is recommended to Best Man Incorporated, a company that specializes in helping the socially awkward in these times of distress. Comic craziness follows, and out of it, a budding friendship. So there you go. Something to possibly show on the small screen if you feel so inclined.
Yeah. All right, so we'll move on to some video games.
Sure.
I know normally Jason handles this, so I'll do my best to fill his rather large shoes.
Mm-hmm. He is a large man.
That is true. We've got for, it looks like, the PC and all the like PlayStation platforms. Not sure if it, if PS3, if it's dropping on the PS3, but at least PS4, Vita, or not. The Broken Age, The Complete Adventure.
Oh.
Because Broken Age 2 drops this week, or second episode, or episode 2,
right?
Because it got broken into two parts,
Dropped
on PC this week, and I think Macintosh and Linux and that sort of thing. And then since it's coming to PlayStation, they didn't get the first episode, so here's your Complete Adventure.
The whole thing in one shot. Nice.
Yeah. Then we have dropping on the PC also, and I think maybe Macintosh too, or shows Linux. This is sort of a weird thing. It just lists, like, instead of listing like all the different things it's on, it's like, here's a thing for this one and this one and this one's like, but it's Shadowrun Chronicles Boston Lockdown.
Ooh.
We also have for the Xbox One and PC State of Decay Year One Survival Edition. Which, side note, I will be streaming on Wednesday and Thursday. If you want to watch me on Twitch.
Cool. What's the handle to look for?
JangoFett 25.
Sweet.
And then we have, let's see. It's not listed on here, but I blame Microsoft's horrible, horrible stealth releasing of its indie titles. I don't know why they don't take a page from PlayStation and like spew forth all their indie titles everywhere,
because they have some good ones.
Yeah, it just boggles my mind, since that seems to be what's all in vogue right now is the indie games. They drop all these things just like, oh yeah, Goat Simulator dropped this day, this game dropped like this day, and no like fanfare, like nothing about them. So I'd heard since last week Shovel Knight, like the with Kratos and special like PlayStation 1 dropped last week.
Right.
I heard that this week it's dropping on Xbox with Battletoads characters.
Oh, nice.
So as bosses, I think, that you fight or something like that. So, but it's not listed on here, but that doesn't surprise me because, like, my rant about their stealth releasing their indie titles.
And they made such a big deal about it at the last E3. We got the indie people. Talk them up.
I know, exactly. But anyway, I can't confirm that that's dropping. I know from Phil Spencer's Twitter, he said it passed cert, and I want to say Major Nelson's Twitter said that it was dropping on the 28th or 29th or something, and so that would be this week.
Right.
So that's another.
Keep an eye out for it, good people.
Yeah. So there you go. There's a little handful of some games.
Alrighty. And if you just cannot get enough comics, here are some things to possibly grab. There might still be time to add it to your pull list, but you're gonna just go down to the store and frequent your local comic shop. They're good people. From DC, it's Justice League number 40. This summer, the multi-title event is The Dark Side War.
What?
And it begins here. The fate of the Earth is in the hands of the Justice League and the most powerful forces they have had to face.
Ant-Man!
Yeah, it's quite the juggernaut.
All the way from Marvel into... Is there... I mean, that's slight tangent, but is there a DC equivalent of Ant-Man?
I am not... yes, there's the At... No, the Atom? I know they have there's a character in the Justice League that does the whole shrinking thing.
Okay, yeah, I know
He's also a scientist, so.
Okay, yeah, because on this latest season of Arrow, introduced the Atom. Since I'm not caught up with it, I've only seen him in an episode of The Flash, because they they do crossovers here and then.
Mm-hmm.
And they, in that episode, he has a suit that he's flying around in, and they kind of played it up a little bit more like it was sort of a Iron Man kind of equivalent, but okay, maybe I haven't watched like Arrow, where he's frequented more, so maybe in that in those episodes he's actually done shrinking stuff. So
yeah, and I can't remember if it's exactly him or not. That might be, but I know there is one in the Justice League that does the whole supersize to micro-size.
Okay, I think so. They usually have some sort of counterpart in each universe.
Mm-hmm. And I would say across town, but now they've moved, but they're now cross-country because DC moved to LA. Is Marvel, and it's Silk, number 3. It seems that Silk has been crimping Black Cat's style and making her operations more difficult. This is unlikely to end amicably.
This isn't like Silk Stockings, that show on USA, right?
No, this is one of the spinoffs of the Spider-Verse.
Okay.
Which, sort of tangenting, did you hear that Sony has picked up another comic book franchise group? They've teamed up with Valiant to
not heard that.
Yeah, I saw it flip, but I'll look it up during when the music breaks and confirm that. But I heard that was going to happen.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, there you go. From Dark Horse, it's Order of the Forge number 1. George Washington, Mystic Warrior. A tale of the days before history books took note of Mr. Washington.
Okay.
Sort of like the whole Abraham Lincoln vampire hunter.
Okay.
I don't know if it's the same group, but it seems like it's that kind of idea. Famous people before they became super famous.
Famous, and the stuff that was left out of the history books.
That's right. The truth that is behind the truth.
Yes, okay.
Then from Image, it's Pisces, number 1. Nothing like coming home from war to everything you ever wanted, including the offer of a secret mission to make first contact with beings beyond our world.
Yeah.
And from IDW, it's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles number 45. Tragedy strikes close to home for the Turtles, and the Foot Clan is also in a dark rage. Who will be left standing as this story, which concludes in number 50, wraps up? So if you wanted to kind of pick up a new story arc, might be a good place to jump in.
Okay.
And our friends at Wild Cool actually got back to us this week. We've been having some slight misses on the timing, but it's all right. It's cool. They recommend some other titles from Image Comics. They're Not Like Us has a new issue, and so does, I can't say the first word, but the last word is planet, and the first one sounds like witch. You can probably figure out what the actual phrase is if I can't say it on the radio.
Mitch.
Yes.
Mitch Planet.
Yes, totally, totally.
Man, planet full of Mitches.
And then also from Alt Comics, there are some notable releases. Man's Feelings. It's a graphic novel.
Man's Feelings.
Mm-hmm.
That just sounds funny.
Yes. Then there's Johnny Viable and his Terse Friends by Steve Alliott. These are very much more independent style stuff, so the titles are awesome.
Yeah.
Irene, number 4. Don't know much about that one, but it sounds kind of cool. And then Alarmo, Value Plus, number 1. By Rusty Jordan, and they also directed us towards a Super Mutant Magic Academy, and there's a long out of print book called from Tundra UK called White Trash, and that's coming back out into print from Titan Publishing. So something else to look forward to.
Cool.
Yes.
Here, why don't I have you read this PSA before I round us out of the new releases?
Certainly. Are you a filmmaker or interested in becoming one? The 2015 Santa Clara City Library Cinefest Film Festival is currently accepting submissions. Filmmakers of all ages, genres, and skill levels are encouraged to enter. The Santa Clara City Library Cinefest Film Festival is not a competitive event, but rather an opportunity to celebrate and showcase the work of local artists. Bay Area filmmakers interested in participating must submit their short films no later than 6 p.m. May 15th, 2015.
Okay.
Festival rules and entry can be found at library.santaclaracity.org. santaclaraca.gov/cinefest. And that's C-I-N-E-F-E-S-T all smashed together.
Ah, okay.
Like cinematic festival.
Gotcha. That sounds cool. All right. I'll round us out with some new music. There is a new album from Blur. Remember Blur?
I remember Blur.
It's called The Magic Whip. It's the British rock band's first studio release in 12 years.
Hmm.
It was recorded while on tour in Asia and produced with Stephen Street.
Does it feature one woman on the cover?
I don't know.
Don't know? It would seem
that
fitting.
Would be, yeah, it would, that would fit. We'll have to look it up.
Yes.
There's a new album from Mew called Plus Minus. It's the first new studio release in 6 years from the Danish art rock band. Sees the return of original bassist Johan Wohler and was produced by Michael Beanhorn. We've got an album from Braids called Deep in the Iris. It's the third full-length release for the Canadian experimental pop trio, was produced with Damian Taylor.
Hmm.
And we've got a debut from Colin Stetson, Never Were the Way She Was. Debut full-length collaboration between Arcade Fire saxophonist Colin Stetson and Viennist Sarah Neufeld, was produced by Hans Bernard. And finally, we have an album from Nay Harvest called Hairball. It's the second full-length release for the British indie rock duo of Ben Thompson and Lou Curry, or Lee Curry, was produced by Bob Cooper.
Ah. And I looked up the cover. It does not feature Wonder Woman. It's
okay.
a melting ice cream with, looks like Chinese characters around it.
Okay, so.
It's a neon image. Like from Vegas, a neon sign
okay.
of a melting
so
ice cream cone.
So doesn't have anything to do with the Magic Whip.
No, not the one that we were are more familiar with.
Gotcha.
At the hip of the mighty Amazon princess.
Yeah, unless this is some metaphor for.
Wow.
I don't know.
That'd make my head hurt.
Yeah, no. Just guess we'll just have to listen to Blur the album and find out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. Speaking of. Listening to music. We're going to take another music break and then come back with the news. Want to tease folks some news?
There is a little image from X-Men Apocalypse.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that movie is slowly dripping more and more stuff about that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I will tease the folks about... I'll ask them this question.
Oh, what's that?
Do chimps trade food for sex?
That would be a question at the top of the $10,000 pyramid.
Yes. And we'll find out when we get back from this music break here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. We'll be back with more Robots Attack. And of course, let's remind them real quick how they can participate on the show.
Mm-hmm. You can participate on the show by going to facebook.com/robotsattackshow or go to twitter.com/robotsattackme. And actually, the story about the X-Men Apocalypse image was brought to my attention by one of our fabulous listeners. So,
ooh, nice.
Yes.
See, you could be as fabulous as that listener.
Yes, indeed. You can do that too at facebook.com/robotsattackshow or twitter.com/robotsattackme.
That's right. All right, we'll be back with more Robots Attack right after a music break.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at robotsattackme. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
Radio stream. Want to listen to KSU even when you're not near a radio? Stream us whenever you want at KSU.org or on the TuneIn Radio app or website, and never be without the Underground Sound. And of course, pro tip.
Find us faster by searching for KSCU. That is unique to our station on the globe.
That's right. All right, let's get to...
News.
That's right. We're in the news section. I'm leading us off with a neat little tidbit I saw coming out of the X-Men Apocalypse film. It is a new picture of Nightcrawler. Now,
okay.
It's a little bit it's a little bit sad that Mr. Cummings is not coming back to reprise the role, but at the same time, it's also good to see someone to give the character new life and a new style and stuff like that. And he does look pretty cool. It's like they're, it's almost like that they knew that there was a that the Ellings coming, like Nightcrawler, was very successful in terms of appearance and what the and the general feel of it. And this new picture seems to kind of capture a fair amount of that look as well.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't look like the actor that has been cast as Nightcrawler is let's see. Cody Smith McPhee, and this looks like a much younger version of Nightcrawler. He looks and has a very lithe sort of kind of compact look to him.
Okay. Yeah, it makes sense because I think the movie is supposed to be in the 80s and not so.
Yeah.
Be a younger version since it's, I think, like Jubilee's being played by a young character, and then it sounds like Jean Grey and a couple of the others that are adult in the later X-Men are going to be younger in this one. So I guess it makes sense.
This makes sense. Yeah. But it definitely looks like they've stayed very rather true to the feel that the original one had. Although it looks like he has less of the emblazoned tattoos on the sacred markings he had on. He was wearing in the X2, those seem to be they don't seem to be present in this particular photo, but he's also fully clothed, so
Does he have the didn't Nightcrawler have like that like triangle red like?
Yeah, in Age of Apocalypse, he did wear that particular outfit. He is not wearing that outfit.
Oh man,
his tail does look pretty cool though. It looks kind of reptilian, kind of hearkening to that not quite human heritage sort of thing.
Oh, okay.
Potentially. I don't know
how they're going to play it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because what, in the comics, isn't he, like, related to Mystique?
Yeah.
Really, like,
They've gone back and forth of whether they're mother-child or, like cousins, siblings, some sort of another. But they definitely have played up they're related because they had the same basic features, blue skin and kind of glowing yellow eyes, and a certain amount of reality shifting stuff. Yeah. So
okay,
yeah,
cool.
So there you go.
Yeah, well,
check out the new images. And what do you think, that this is a worthy successor to X2 or not?
Mm-hmm. And where can they check it out?
You can go to facebook.com/robotsattackshow and twitter.com/robotsattackme. Links will be provided as we go through the news.
That's right, because we like to post our stories there, because a lot of times this one in particular has images or videos that don't exactly work over the radio.
Yeah, let me show you this picture on the radio.
Yeah.
You can see it, can't you?
Oh, man, that's so cool. But that means you can go back later and check it out. Or right now, if you're not driving. If you're driving, don't look at it now. Don't. Yeah. Do not.
It's not worth it.
It's not worth it. Okay. I posed a question before we got, for the break.
Yes.
I asked, do chimps trade food for sex?
That's a formidable question.
This story from National Geographic News. When male chimpanzees seek sex, but female chimps are more interested in food, the result is a passionate clash of appetites.
Oh my. Oh my.
let's see. Food, sex, they're primal preoccupations for humans and our close relatives, chimpanzees. For years, Homo sapiens scientists have watched those appetites play out among troglodytes with mixed results.
Uh-huh.
Female chimps average 5 to 6 years between births, one of the longest intervals of any mammal. To raise the odds of reproducing, a female will mate with most or all of the males she knows.
Oh, says, wow.
Primatologist Melissa Emery Thompson of the University of New Mexico. While a male will compete or fight with other would-be sires. Some studies report cases of male chimps trying to sweeten the deal sharing game they killed or crops they've flinched with females that mated with them. Mm-hmm. In a 2007 West African chimp study, a female consorted more frequently with a male that gave her stolen papayas. Leading researcher Kimberly Hawkins, at postdoctoral student at Oxford Brookes University in the UK, to suggest the male was trading forbidden fruit for other currencies. Many studies don't support the food for sex theory, Marie Thompson says. Quote, people tend to hang on to the idea because they find it titillating. What her chimp research has found, she says, is a different food sex issue. With sex-seeking males surrounding them, females are less obliged to forage and feed. That drives down fertility and their ability to replenish their endangered species. So there you go. Does it answer the question or not? Science does not completely know, but I think that's a lot of things with science. We don't know the answers to everything.
But, but we have very good ideas about a lot of it.
We do.
Mm-hmm. So and
yeah, segue from that.
So the segue is, there is a segue, because we're going to talk about the fact that I mentioned before that Netflix, the Daredevil show, is doing very well. It did have an interesting kind of hiccup, I guess, in a way, early in its life, when a fan of the show, it struck him that there was no real way for someone who was sight impaired to really enjoy the show, because a lot of the show is not dialogueless, but the action scenes don't have a lot of like vocal interaction other than like a punch in the face or what. And
obviously better than that, but
yeah, but like you can't, like if you didn't have the visual, you would have no idea what was happening.
Yeah, what's going on?
So Netflix responded by adding a descriptive narration of the show, including facial expressions and descriptions of action, along with the dialogue that you get normally in each show. And they also cover things like scene changes and stuff like that. So when they're like doing like flashbacks or quick cuts, you can kind of keep it's easier to keep track of what's going on when you can't actually see what's going on. And I thought that was exceedingly, you know, that's good cool. on you, Netflix, for responding quickly and intelligently to what is something that it seems obvious when you have the solution, but until you think of it, like you wouldn't, when you're sighted, you don't, not to be down on us sighted people, but that's not something like we're like all sucked into the visual. We don't, yeah, always realize that.
You generally think of the flip of subtitles,
right?
For
the deaf,
yeah,
for hearing impaired, to be.
So you know, it's like, oh, okay, well, but yeah, then you'd flip it like, well, I'm sure people who are, you know, can't see would still like to hear, you know, still like to listen, because
it's still
to
a good storytelling and good acting and all that. So yeah, I thought that was kind of cool. And their plan is to expand it to their other original shows then across the other properties on their network as this goes forward. So hopefully soon you'll be able to listen to your favorite show and actually know exactly what's going on without having seen it before. So
yeah, I wonder if it's interesting that with this one, since it's about a character who is blind, like if it was brought up, not in a joking way, but not as like haha making fun of somebody, but just, you know, kind of in passing, like, hey, how come there's no, you know?
Yeah, the story, the guy started a change.org petition. So he started an internet petition saying, you know, we need to, this is something that should be looked at, and it got Netflix's attention and they responded. And so yeah, but it, the guy said, like, yeah, it just sort of struck him as he's watching, like, this is a really good story about a hero that cannot see,
is blind, yeah.
Why not let people that are having that might identify with this character enjoy the show? So there you are, folks. Accessibility isn't just is something that is important on websites, in television, yeah, media.
I agree. Very yeah, you cool. should. I have you. Did you ever check it out?
I haven't tried it yet. Oh, okay. I'd be curious to try it on one of the episodes I've watched already, just to kind of see how it's different.
Yeah, yeah. Because I mean, they get some good people to do like books, mm-hmm. you know, audio books and stuff like that. So I imagine if they got someone with good voice, good narration, it would be like, that'd be interesting to just listen to and see.
Yeah. Definitely.
See what your brain comes up with.
Seriously. Images. Yeah. Radio drama coming back to life.
Yeah. All right. I've got our final PSA of the evening. Are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer? You can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks. And you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook. All right. My next story involves someone that we talked about earlier, specifically Josh Whedon, who is directing a movie that we talked about a lot.
Right.
They asked him because I don't know if you heard, but he mentioned that after Age of Ultron, he was going to step away from the Marvel universe. He said he'd been doing it for 5 or so-ish years and wanted to take a break and kind of come up with his own thing again. I guess he was asked if he was still interested in directing a DC movie.
Ooh, what one would he do?
Josh Whedon has said that he'd be interested in making a movie for DC, and while sad he isn't getting to direct the forthcoming Wonder Woman movie, he's still excited to see it. While promoting new film, Avengers Age of Ultron, which we talked about, the writer-director has been telling that this would be his last Marvel movie for this foreseeable future. So they asked if he'd consider defecting to the other side. Quote, sure. I'd be like, I have all these joke ideas. And they'd be like, no, we don't do that here. I desperately wanted to do a Batman film. Who doesn't? And I wanted to do Wonder Woman. I was a Marvel kid growing up, but I was always DC curious. And I see myself on the spectrum in between. The Wonder Woman that Whedon refers to is the movie that he developed back in 2005, which became mired in development hell. But with the character appearing in Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice in 2016 and a standalone movie in 2017, they asked Whedon how he felt about someone else bringing a character he so loves to the big screen. Quote, I don't care who she's seeing now, he replied, feigning grief. We don't talk much, and I wish her well. Then more seriously, Whedon explained, I worked really hard on that movie, and it meant a lot, but I don't know if what I was trying to do would fit in with what their vision is. I'm excited to see it, so I just want them to make it so I can see it. So it sounds like he'd definitely be down for doing it, but like he mentioned, they are definitely going in more of a serious tone with the DC movies, at least from what we've seen versus the Marvel ones. So I don't know. I mean, if you look at like Firefly had some pretty serious moments to it while also having some humor. But but yeah, I could see both sides if execs or producers were like, oh, we don't think it would fit, but
yeah. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see his take on some of these DC characters, because I'm sure that they could give him one that might be a little bit less serious to begin with. Like I would like to see him take on Plastic Man.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. Or at the very least, The Flash. I mean, The Flash is, I'm assuming they're going to keep The Flash as kind of the humor, sort of fun character.
He's kind of the heart of the Justice League. Without him, they're all like just so dang serious.
Yeah. So we'll see. But also, he wants to break off and do his own world creating stuff. So, you know, he's been doing the comic book thing for a while now. So I can definitely understand that. But
yeah, definitely. And branching off of comic books and bouncing back to Nightcrawler, one of our astute listeners pointed out that the costume does actually evoke his old school outfit, but without looking like he's wearing like a costume party outfit. They actually did. I had my screen backlight turned down low, so I have more battery juice.
Oh, okay.
But when I turned it up, I'm like, oh yeah, there is he has the red bands on the shoulders and stuff like that. So
okay,
it's still like worked into the design of his outfit, it's not quite so. He has wings on his shoulders. Yeah. Like it's a little bit more reasonable. And they also said that the idea of radio dramas like the as Daredevil sounds pretty cool. And I think that's it's kind of a strange, like, backwards way into, like, some of, like, an older form of entertainment. But, yeah, totally awesome. So, branching from that to... So, the comic books and film and accessibility and the joy that that brings us also reminds us of the things that we loved in the 80s, like Star Wars.
What?
And in case you hadn't heard... They're making a new movie, and Disney, being now the owner of Lucasfilm and the Star Wars franchise, has decided that some of their Disney cruise ships are going to have a section redesigned to look like you're on the Millennium Falcon.
Okay,
the picture's actually pretty cool. So yeah, like they're gonna reformat some of their spaces to look like the set of Star Wars and the Millennium Falcon. And that's just really cool. Like they even have like the circular tables and like the bench seating and stuff like that. I'm actually pretty impressed with what the photo shows. I'm like, this looks really cool. Kind of want to like hang out on a Disney cruise ship just to find out what this is like.
They're gonna have like Mickey and other characters like dressed up as Han Solo and Luke and.
Yeah, I'm not sure. That would be kind of awesome, though. Yeah, I know they've had like Darth Vader, Goofy, and stuff like that, and some of like the promotional materials throughout the years.
Okay.
Part of it's the and. In this space, they're also going to be including things like Jedi Training Academy experiences like they do at the park.
Oh, okay.
And games and crafts and stuff based on their animated series like Star Wars Rebels. And they're also doing a Star Wars Day at Sea package for those that are that would want to celebrate. Or no, that passed already. No, Star Wars is May the 4th.
Yeah.
So
coming up
2016. Oh yeah, there it is. April 2016.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know if the tickets are still available, but they are going to do a Star Wars Day at Sea. So on at least one or two of their ships. So that's kind of awesome.
Speaking of awesome.
Dog
Mojo. Canine gazes change our biochemistry.
Say what?
That's right. A dog's loving gaze has incredible power, changing human biochemistry for the better with a single look. When a dog stares at a familiar, friendly person and the person stares back, the hormone oxytocin spikes in both the canine and human, according to a new study, which helps to explain why the dog-human bond can be so strong. Findings are published in the latest issue of the journal Science. Oxytocin has many positive impacts on human physiology and psychology. Senior author Takafumi Kikuyoshi of Azabu University. Told Discovery News, quote, for example, it decreases blood pressure and relieves stress and anxiety. We can really feel the warmth when we are with dogs, and it is feasible that dogs can feel the same sense of affection from us. Kikuyoshi led an author, Miho Nagasawa, and their colleagues put 30 male and female dogs representing different breeds into a room with their owners for half an hour During this time, the researchers documented every interaction between the dogs and humans, such as talking, touching, and gazing. Measurements of oxytocin in the owner's and dog's urine revealed that increased eye contact drove up levels of the hormone in the brains of both species.
Huh.
The scientists conducted a near identical experiment on wolves that had been raised by humans. The wolves showed no increase in oxytocin. And yet another experiment, again with dogs and their owners, plus some human strangers, the researchers sprayed oxytocin directly into the noses of certain canines. Female dogs among this nose-sprayed group increased the amount of time that they gazed at their owners. Together, all the findings support that there is an oxytocin feedback loop that occurs between dogs and their owners. Since oxytocin likely evolved to bond mammal parents with their infants, the researchers believe that the connection between many dogs and humans is comparable to parent-child bonding. Because wolves experience no oxytocin increases, even after happily playing with familiar, friendly humans, Kikuyoshi and his team think that dogs evolved the enhanced ability during their domestication. In fact, he said that, quote, it is possible that dogs cleverly and unknowingly hijacked the natural system meant for bonding a parent with his or her child. So, yeah, I know I had heard that, when you hang out with, your pet, your dog or cat or whatever, pet them and stuff like that, like it will lower your
stress and blood pressure
and stuff like that. But yeah, it's interesting, the oxytocin and stuff. And so
it also would explain why some people view their pets as their children.
Yeah, because
there's a lot of people, like, for them, like, that is their family. Like, that is their pack, for lack of a better phrase. But, like, it's that connection, like, it sounds a little weird, but, like, at the same time, if this is what our brains are doing, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. Wow. Man. Science!
Science and knowledge and chemistry and the human mind.
The human mind. All right, we've got a few moments left. Mm-hmm. Want to do our last story?
Yeah, sure. This is a fairly quick one. It was actually brought to my attention by one of our astute listeners.
Oh, okay, all right. See, you too can be.
That's right. You too can be on the show right now. The rap has covered that the Guillermo del Toro helmed Silent Hill series movie is.
You mean the game? Silent
Hills? Silent Hill, the game. Guillermo del Toro was going to be working on a project based on Silent Hill for Konami, and that has been axed.
Yeah, and heard about that.
Bwah, 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 bwah. That, I think, would have been really cool, because he has, like, those games have always been pretty long on style, at least the better ones, and the movies were, while very weird, had pretty good style, and I would love to see his take on making a world that had that sort of feel, because I feel like he would do well at that. So,
yeah, it was teased at the end of the PT thing that Sony dropped.
Right.
Was like, if you beat it, it showed like Norman Reedus, the actor from Walking Dead and Boondog Saints and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, show up, and then it says like Silent Hills above it. And so everyone was like, oh, Guillermo del Toro and Hideo Kojima like teaming up together to make the next Silent Hills game. And then after him leaving Konami, and then there was, it was like, oh, is this gonna, what's gonna happen with it? And then like just Guillermo del Toro has like the worst luck with video games. It seems like everything like he tried to attach to do, it ends up getting like canceled or something. So it's almost like I wouldn't want to be like doing a video game with him, just because there's just always been this unfortunate bad luck. Like,
yeah. And you were right. I misread. It was actually, it's a game they were talking about, and sadly, that game will never come to pass. That is very sad. Dang.
Yeah, because like you said, it's like the two of them. I never played the PT playable trailer.
Right.
But from what everyone said, good scares and everything like that. So it's too bad those two.
Yeah, but like between the two of them, they probably could have put together something seriously awesome.
Oh, well, what can you do?
Mm-hmm.
Play the other billions of games that are...
Yeah, all those terrible, terrible, great games that are being made. Yeah. Gosh, there's like nothing to play right now.
Nope.
Nope.
Absolutely nothing.
Absolutely nothing. There's...
All right. I'll finish off our show
of
Robots Attack here on KCU Santa Clara with This Day in History. All right. In 1521... Portuguese explorer Ferdinand Magellan was killed in a fight with natives of the Philippines. Ooh. In 1805, the U.S. Marines captured Derna on the shores of Tripoli. In 1865, the worst steamship disaster in the history of the United States occurred. There was an explosion aboard the Sultana. More than 1,400 people were killed. In 1956... Rocky Marciano retired as undefeated world heavyweight boxing champion. In 1961, Sierra Leone gained independence from Great Britain. In 1983, pitcher Nolan Ryan surpassed Walter Johnson's strikeout record, one that had been held since 1927.
Ooh.
And then in 1987, Austrian President Kurt Waldenheim was barred from entering the United States. He was accused of aiding in the execution of thousands of Jews in World War II. And last, we have in 1993, Eritrea declared itself independent. I never heard of that place, but I'm glad it claimed its independence. So it's something ending on a positive note, because I every time before, Jason's always like, it always ends bad. There's every day in history, nothing ends good. Like,
there's always more death.
Yeah, well, here, this place that I've never heard of, I'm sorry, declared itself independent.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. That's going to do it for Robots Attack this week. Thank you for listening. We love you all out there.
Yes, we do.
And... we love that you listen to KACU Santa Clara. There's tons of awesome shows on here, so keep it locked here. I mean, if you want, you can even just, like, preset all of your radio stations to 103.3 FM. I mean...
and get, you know, log it into your TuneIn Radio app, and then you always have it no matter where you go when you get cell signal.
Yeah, and then this way, too, like, you know, if you're accidentally, like, hit, you know... because if you just put it on, say, like the one preset, you accidentally hit three, but you wanted the one. See, if you just lock them all in, then it's just like, it doesn't matter what button you push.
Exactly.
You don't even need to. You just turn on your radio. Bam, it's there.
Every time you hit the button, you win.
There you go. You win. And you want to win because winning is fun. And
yeah, totally.
Knowing's half the battle and all that stuff that G.I. Joe taught us and He-Man and to be positive and happy. So...
How to stop a nosebleed.
Yes. All right, that's going to do it. Have a wonderful week, wonderful weekend. We'll be back next Monday. Hopefully, the full crew will be here. So until then, keep it locked here on KACU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound. And, you know what? One last thing, since the internet is open 24/7, even though the show's over, you can still participate on the show.
That's right. If you didn't catch us on the live show, you can still catch us post show on the aforementioned facebook.com/robotsattackshow and twitter.com/robotsattackme and the email robotsattackshow@gmail.com. But if you just want one place for all things Robots Attack, including archive episodes of our awesome show and comment section and all that other good stuff, go to robotsattack.me. That is where all things congregate that are Robots Attack.
Alrighty. Take it easy, everybody. If you go see Avengers Age of Ultron, if you do, let us know what you think.
Yes, please.
All right. Take it easy, everybody.
Raccoon. Verona. Mixto.